Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey guys, remember back at the beginning of the year, I said that one of my 2019 resolutions was to be more relaxed about CleanCast. Well, here comes the first big test of my resolve. We had a scheduling snafu this week, and I had to postpone the April Fool's episode I had planned with Josh Gondelman, Josh Ong, and Tim Herrera. We were going to talk about sneakers. We were all very excited. April Fool's joked on me, though, because we had a big scheduling mix-up. Instead of scrambling to get new guests or to record a half-hearted version of the episode I had planned, I decided to tell you what happened and air a rerun this week. So that's what I'm going to do. And what a rerun it is. Since we're in the back half of April and many of you will be doing spring cleaning, I picked one of last year's Wash What Happens episodes with John Taylor, in which we talked about cleaning big appliances like refrigerators and ovens. I actually listened to the episode again this morning and I laughed so hard all over again. The episode really has everything. Me calling myself pervy Uncle Jolie, several red clay jokes, which I hope it will warm your heart to know I'm still trolling John with over a year later. And please to push your refrigerator out the window. It was really something. I hope you guys enjoy revisiting it as much as I did. I also have a ton of new patrons to thank, which I'll be doing over the next few episodes. You guys, wow, I just want to say thank you so much for supporting my Weird Little Cleaning Show. If you want to subscribe to the bonus episodes, those are the ones where we do the chip chat and the Tinder talk, head over to patreon.com/askacleanperson. You can also support my work by leaving a 5-star iTunes rating, which is a huge help for me. I think probably you guys don't even know what a big deal those iTunes ratings are. So if you think of it, go over and click the 5 stars and let people know how much you love my little show. Another thing that would be super great is to tell some friends about this weird little show. You can go ahead and grab their phones and subscribe them. It'll be good for them. It'll be good for me. It'll be good for you. I actually have started doing this to people. It's really deeply satisfying. With that, let me reel off a few patron thanks. This is by no means all of the people I have to thank. So if you don't hear your name, don't worry. You will hear your name in the next couple of episodes. So big thank yous go out to Tiffany L. Wagner, Katie, Phoebe, Jillian Gerke, Lauren Whitcomb, Ashley Douglas, Melissa Gallagher, JLC, Amanda, Jennifer Gorn, Molly Forney, Sarah Hill, Tori Sandifer, Jake Johnson, who pledged $269. Thank you, Jake. Very nice. And Clean Person in Training, who also pledged $269. Thank you guys so much for supporting my show. I really appreciate it. And I hope you enjoy this flashback episode with John Taylor, all about cleaning big appliances. Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. You should send your questions about cleaning, or anything else really, to joliekerr@gmail.com. With me is my co-host in residency, John Taylor. Hey, John.
Hey.
Hi. John, don't leave me.
I literally just got here.
You guys, this is John's last episode as co-host in residency. I'm very sad, but I'm also very happy because it's been great to have you this month.
It's been fun.
You had fun?
It's been good.
I
haven't like contributed any cleaning advice.
You don't need to. That's what I'm here for.
No, but I've realized like listening back to them is just like whenever you actually start answering the question, I just go dead silent for 4.5 minutes because I have nothing to contribute because at any point it would just be me popping and being like,
huh.
Oh, sponge.
You don't say. No, but that's why you're great, actually. And someone, that was actually one of the pieces of positive feedback that I got about you that,
Shut the fuck up?
One of our listeners was like, you know, it's great. Like, he doesn't interrupt you, but he adds, like, a lot of personality, and you guys have great chemistry, and, like.
It works well together.
It does. It's been great. And I have, like, loved having you here. This month went by so fast.
It was a quick month.
It was a very quick month. And also, I have to say, also, I'm super grateful because it gave me a lot of clarity about what makes me happy in terms of doing this show and what I have to do kind of as like next steps as I consider growing the show and all this stuff. So you guys, just a quick update. John is going to leave after this episode. I hope he's going to come back, but I have, for the next couple of episodes, I'll be going back to the guest format. I have some amazing guests lined up, including, as I mentioned last week, Ask a Manager, Allison Green is going to be coming on. We're going to be talking about office cleaning, horror stories, etiquette, all of that good stuff. We're definitely going to be talking about the microwaved socks. So that's what you guys can expect for most of May. We'll be just back to the regular old rotating guest formats. And then I may do some other residencies. I may just like beg John to come back full time. We shall see what happens. But this has been really, really great. We have a big episode today. We are finishing off our Wash What Happens annual spring cleaning extravaganza that we do here on Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. Today's final episode is going to be focused on deep cleaning your major kitchen appliances.
Ooh.
This is, I think, going to be fodder for a lot of fun because they're gnarly jobs.
Yeah, and they all smell bad.
They do smell really bad. And they smell bad in all different ways, too. So we're going to be doing deep cleaning the fridge, deep cleaning the oven, and deep cleaning the dishwasher. And I regret to inform John and the rest of you that part of the discussion of the dishwasher we have to do involves drain lines and kinked drain lines.
What is a kinked drain line?
It means old pervy Uncle Jolly over here.
Okay, I have a number of things to say already. Number one, why are you referring to yourself as Uncle Jolly? Like, aunts can be pervy too.
I am your cool pervy aunt.
Number two, why is it any different? Like, what is different about, like, every single episode contains some, like, bizarre fetish community thing.
Oh, it's not. I don't know.
So there's nothing, just because, like, you get to say, like,
use the word kinky, like, 8,000 times.
You had an episode where you said the word suction over and over again.
Yes, I sure did. Powerful suction, John.
And especially considering that the bonus episode you have coming up for this particular week is bonus episode number 69.
Nice. And what am I wearing?
A shirt that's upside down. I'm dead serious. I actually can't,
read
it. No. Bet you can't guess my favorite number. Oh, come on. What New Jersey carnival boardwalk did you win that from?
I won it from a podcast listener who sent it to me anonymously to the office. And
I'm glad they sent it anonymously.
And I had to like take to Twitter to beg for the person to reveal himself, which he did.
Of course it was a dude.
Which he did reveal himself because I wanted to send him a thank you note. So you guys, if you want a sweet, sweet Bet You Can't Guess My Favorite Number t-shirt, you can get them on Amazon. He has an Amazon shop, and he told me that the best way to find the shop, because of the way that like Amazon works, is just to go into the search bar and search for Bet You Can't Guess My Favorite Number t-shirt, and it'll come up.
So there you go. If you want a subtle 69 t-shirt.
I get, definitely, I wear this one a lot when I'm doing my Saturday 100s at the gym, and I definitely get like a lot of extra like grunting from my fellow gym bros when I'm wearing it, and I really like that. Before we can get into bonus episode 69, the nicest bonus episode, we want to remind you that we offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to our premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite our show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to help support us. It is also the end of the month, which means it is time to say thank you to the patrons who are new to us in April. We have a lot of them. So we have big thank yous to go to Megan Hayes, Genevieve Beck-Rowe, Kirsten Dugans, Lauren Burnley, Morgan Meredith, Rebecca Swibel. I think it's Swibel. It may be Quibel, but I think it's Swibel. Michelle Beach and Chris Key. And then we have to give a very special thanks to our nicest patrons. These are the patrons who have pledged $269, $690, et cetera, et cetera. There are actually more of you than there are the regular old
fans. Why am I not surprised?
I should just change the levels at this point.
Really?
Just
make them all some 69.
I used to have actually a $69 level of giving that I had to spike for reasons. But maybe I'll bring that one back. All right. So here are our nicest patrons: Sarah Smiley, Ruthie Berger, Miranda Hilliard, Chad Shootman, Isabel Arinar. Let me see. Let me try that one again. Arinivar. Isabel Arinivar. There you go. Thanks, Isabel. Sorry, I butchered your name. Rose A. Beverly Hobbs. Bev, I know you. She's my favorite Scorpio.
You sorry, have favorite Scorpios?
I do. I have favorite Scorpios. Lucy Horst, William Drake, Annette Blackwell, and Sarah O'Brien. Thank you guys so much for helping to support my weird little cleaning show that you love so much.
I'm a little disappointed no one put down a fake name for that, like Huge Ass or...
Oh, yeah, you guys should start doing that. Please.
Or like, Seymour Butts.
Yeah.
Or... The immortal
like
Heywood Jablomi.
Who...
Which really would have been appropriate for the 69 level of giving.
That would be perfect. All right. If if you want to do that, you have to give $69. All right. So we are going to have, I think, a longish ep today because we got a lot to cover. We got some beers.
Yes.
We also have some very fancy special chips.
Yep.
Our patrons will remember on last week's bonus episode. John was talking excitingly about the king of chip, Mountain Walker's cheddar and onion.
Cheese and onion.
Sorry.
I don't actually know what kind of cheese it is.
Yeah, it's just cheese.
It's just cheese, which is kind of worrisome to think about that they don't tell you what kind of cheese it is.
I think it is cheddar. Cheese and onion, potato chips. There's a place near my apartment that sells them, so I went and got John a whole big baggie full of them so that he could enjoy
it. It just says cheese and onion seasoning.
Like,
it literally says cheese powder. I'm a little concerned about that.
Don't think too much about it. Just enjoy your chips. All right, here. But before you enjoy your chips, though, I need you to read the question from Claudia.
Claudia writes. I'm sorry if that's not how you pronounce your name. I just find it funny.
I do, too. I don't know why.
Dear Jolie, I heard your interview on NPR's Fresh Air, and I really have to say it was one of my favorites. Out of all the interviews with actors, musicians, and authors that I've listened to Terry Gross interview, yours has stuck with me the most. Can I just say how appropriate it is that you talk to someone named Terry Gross about cleaning?
Terry Gross hated me so much, too.
Did you show up drunk?
No, I didn't. No, I thought I was being very well behaved, but I told Terry that her cats hated her. She didn't like that so much.
God, that is the biggest insult you could possibly give to an NPR personality, is that their cats don't like them.
I know. I was very green. I know a little bit more about doing interviews now.
Well, Claudia did not mind you ripping on Terry Gross. That being said, I'm not entirely sure if it's appropriate to send you questions about cleaning like this, but here goes nothing.
It sure is.
It always is. I moved into a new apartment and noticed a pretty big problem. My refrigerator stunk like a car air freshener, probably because there was an actual car air freshener in the freezer. Who would do that?
I know.
Why would you do that?
I know.
Why would you...
I love this question so much.
Not sure how long it had been in there, but I immediately took it out and tried to air out the thing. At first, it seemed like the smell was going away, but now it just seems to be getting worse. The biggest problem is that anything I put in the fridge soaks up that disgusting smell unless it is wrapped up or in a tightly sealed container. I can't make ice in my freezer because it comes out smelling and tasting like a damn car air freshener. I'm sorry.
That's just like the most hilarious problem.
It's summer is coming. I'm going to need some ice. I've tried scrubbing the whole fridge and freezer out with baking soda, white vinegar, and bleach all separately. God, you bleached your freezer and it still wouldn't go away. But the stank is persistent. I realize you must be an incredibly busy woman.
What?
Is that true?
I'm pretty busy. The garbage chips aren't going to eat themselves.
But I was wondering if you had any suggestions at all for cleaning/destinkifying my fridge. Thanks so much, Claudia. What I really want to know what was not included there is which car air freshener?
I just assume it's the tree.
I figured new car. I'm also trying to think which would be worse.
I was just going to say, which would be best for use in cocktails? Like, which car freshener...
Definitely pine
ice flavor ice.
Because then you can make gin and tonics. It would be.
Yeah,
like...
I was actually thinking. I was like, maybe that would be like a. You could like pass it off as like artisanal ice. It's flavored
ice.
You definitely
can pass it off. There are white people stupid enough on this planet who will consume ice that's been made in a freezer that stinks like a car air freshener.
Let's start
and think
that
to
business.
Themselves, it's artisanal.
Let's start that business.
I would like to, but right. you need to tell this poor person how to get air freshener stink out of their freezer. This is a New Yorker, too. Right? I'm sure this is a New Yorker who is writing in, because only another New Yorker would think to do something and put a car air freshener in a freezer.
I feel like it's not a New Yorker because I don't feel like New Yorkers think about car air fresheners.
But New Yorkers are assholes.
Yes, they are.
And that's a really asshole, stupid thing to do.
I want to meet the guy who put, because it was a guy.
It was definitely, a guy.
I want to meet the guy who decided that the solution to his problems in life
was a car air freshener.
Was to put a car air freshener in the freezer. If you or someone you know has done this, because here's the thing. It also, if one person has done it, other people have done it. So,
well, you've got to imagine this dude also probably at some point had a car air freshener floating in his toilet. He's like, that'll fix that.
God. Let's like not spend too much time thinking of all of the places that people could put car air fresheners that just would be bad, bad ideas, because we could lose our minds.
We could.
And we got to...
You have to tell this person, it's up Claudia, how to get her fridge clean.
Before I tell Claudia how to get the smell out, and I have actually some pretty easy and like not even remotely labor intensive things that she should do. I want to start with the general how to deep clean a fridge instructions, because I think that that's a good thing to talk about. We haven't talked about it on this show in a while. As we were leaving last week, actually, John told me that he hates cleaning the fridge. And I was like, really? That's so interesting, because it's like one of those jobs that I do not mind at all. And the job that I do hate that John doesn't mind at all is cleaning the oven. I hate cleaning the oven. And we're going to talk about cleaning the oven in the next segment. Okay, so let us talk about your general approach to a fridge deep clean sitch. First of all, I want to say that there are instructions in my book that you can go buy.
You have a book?
I did that just for you.
Wow.
But also,
I've never heard of this book.
There's an article that I wrote for the New York Times in November of 2017 that's literally called How to Deep Clean a Fridge. Like, it was like the most on the nose headline.
They didn't even give it the time
style. I know,
style.
I was like, in a fridge, yeah. Deep cleaning. Like, you know.
for gross refrigerators, a new start or something.
I'm going to make my editor start doing those for me. So that's all there for you to refer back to, should you want it. But here are the basics. The first thing is, get out the tools you need before you start the job. So here are the tools. You need a wrench, a hand. No, I'm just kidding. You need trash bags. You probably are going to want gloves, not actually for the cleaning part, but for the food disposal part of things.
That's the fun part right there.
Yeah.
How long has this been in my fridge?
What was this?
Yeah.
You're probably going to want a cooler. And then for the actual cleaning stuff, a general all-purpose cleaner. I'm going to talk about the options that you have. Sponges, rags, microfiber cloth, sort of one of those. Adobe pad is a very good thing. That's the non-stick scrubbing sponge that 3M makes that I'm so in love with. And then also a magic eraser may come in handy. So you may not need all of those things, but that's sort of your general fridge deep cleaning toolkit. Okay, the first step. You guys are going to hate me for this, but I really promise that if you do it and you do it the way that I tell you to do it, it is going to be much, much, much less painful than if you try to cut corners. Like, I think when we started, John, I talked about how people try to take shortcuts and cut corners with deep cleaning, and that's almost always...
It's the American way.
Right. And that almost always ends up creating more work for you. So just try to do it the Russian way, I guess, the opposite of the American way.
Cheating? What? No, you got to do it the German way.
The German way. Do it the German way. Do it.
Skip no steps.
Do it right. Yes.
Do it right. And then go too far with it. And then have to apologize for it.
Yes. And with no humor.
With no humor at all.
But have humor, because humor will help. Okay, so the first step is to take everything out. That means everything. That means everything off of the shelves. That means everything out of the side doors. Everything. And the reason you're going to take everything out is because you also are going to take the shelves and the door panel inserts out too. And if you leave a bottle of ketchup in, then you can't take them out. Take everything out. Take out the box of baking soda in the back. Take everything out. This is also probably a good time to mention that it's not a bad idea to put on some music while you're doing this, or maybe a podcast. Maybe a podcast about cleaning. If you know of one, maybe you might listen to
it. It's very meta.
you know, a lot of people listen to this while they clean.
But
you know that, right? The advice. They do it just because it's like.
So while they're cleaning one thing, they have you yammering on about cleaning another thing.
Exactly. A lot of people do this. They say like it's one because it's like cleaning is a good time to listen to a podcast. And because you're sort of.
Well, sure. Yeah. You're not doing anything else.
And they say like it gets them like, even if I'm not talking about the chore they're doing, the fact that I'm so excited about whatever it is I'm talking about. Gets them excited about
your
whatever they're doing.
Infectious enthusiasm.
That's right.
About
cleaning.
About cleaning. About stains and
like red
fluids.
Clay stains. John,
I walked right into that.
You really
Jesus.
Did. John, we had a red clay tragedy this week. Did you see this on Twitter? I think you didn't see it.
I don't think I did.
You guys, I regret to inform you that the crud cutter red clay stain remover has been discontinued. The Rust-Oleum Corporation like got in touch with me to confirm it and everything.
Wow, the universe finally working in my favor. You see what happens? You make all your damn jokes and this is the result. This is the karmic punishment for going on and damn on about this.
So sad. And then I went to go look for the marinara and mozzarella ruffles at the grocery store. I went to 5 different stores over the course of 2 days to try to find them, and I couldn't find them, and I'm worried that Ruffles has discontinued them. It's been a very hard week, John. I'm gonna talk more about fridge cleaning to the tattered remnants of my soul.
This is like therapy, but involving a lot more baking soda.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, listen to some music, listen to a podcast, like, you know, it just helps the job go by a little bit faster. Okay. So you've taken everything out, including the shelves and the door inserts and the drawers. My God, the drawers, take the drawers out. You guys, they're disgusting. You are going to wash those things. Now, if you have an outdoor area where you can just take that stuff outside and hose them right down, do that. Otherwise, because they're like big, kind of bulky, weirdly shaped items, they're kind of hard to wash in the kitchen sink. You can do it. But I would say that if you have a bathtub, that's actually the place to take them in and wash them if you can't take them outside. So you're gonna wash all of those things, basically just like you would a dish with like hot soapy water. If, however, on the shelves, especially the ones that come out of the door, but where like a lot of people keep their condiments that the jars drip and they get sticky and all of that, if there is like a lot of sticky stuff kind of like stuck on.
Sticky stuff sticks. There you go.
You might want to give them a spray with an all-purpose cleaner, like a 409 or any one of those, and just like let that sit and kind of penetrate into the sticky stuff. I also have another tip if it's really not budging that I will get to in just a second. But you're gonna wash all those things first, dry them, set them aside, and then you. Oh wait, I've been so like out
you're
of,
so excited you're jumping ahead.
I actually was so distressed about the red clay that I jumped ahead. Sorry. Before you start washing the shelves, after you've taken everything out, but before you wash the shelves, you want to do your first pass at your food inventory. This is the time when you are going to dump out those old leftovers that like don't resemble what they started out as. Throw away things that like, you know, have gone off the liquefied lettuce, all of that stuff. Just do the first pass, throw all that stuff out. Transfer anything that's highly perishable into your cooler or just stash it in your freezer. Here is a little tip for making the throwing away of the rotted, and the leftover gross leftover stuff, a little bit less gross. It's quite facile, but like, I think it does help to actually hear this. So the first is either, like wear a glove so that you can use your gloved hand to scoop things out of like Tupperware and stuff that you want to keep, just so you don't have to touch it. Or if stuff has been stored with Saran wrap or tinfoil over it, use the Saran wrap or tinfoil as kind of like a glove to like scoop and throw away all
that
stuff.
Or just throw everything away.
I mean, I don't really want you dumping your Tupperware and your good storage containers like that. If it's the like semi-disposable, like the Gladware,
yeah,
that stuff. I mean, you might want that stuff is highly porous and it's not meant to last forever. So you if it's something that's been sitting in there for a long time, you might want to just dump it.
If it's something you can buy like six of them at the supermarket for $2.50, just toss that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, throw it away and get a new one. Jolie Care has actually said throw it away and get a new one.
First time for everything.
The other thing, and again, this is pretty facile, but like as you're opening things up, before you open them, take a big deep breath.
Don't lean in and just open your nostrils right above the container.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's facile to say.
No, but I've done that when I've been ready to open something. And like, part of me is like, I know this is gonna smell terrible, but the other part of me is like, yeah, but how terrible? Like, how bad is this gonna be?
How bad
is it? And then
I'm like
half retching over the sink, going, "Oh, right, that was. Why did I expect anything different?"
Right, exactly. So yeah, take a big deep breath, hold it, and then you're not inhaling the stench of your rotted food and personal failures. Okay, so then you've done your first pass. You stashed highly perishable stuff in the freezer for the time being, and you've set everything else aside. Now it's time to do the drawers and the shelves. Now here is my tip for when very, very sticky things stick on stickily. You are going to make a hot compress of sorts. Because basically what you want to do is you want to reconstitute whatever it is that has basically dried up and onto the shelves of your refrigerator. So obviously you want to mind your hands when you do this, but basically what you're going to do is take a rag, like an old washcloth, old dishcloth. Don't use a paper towel for this because you want to get it really pretty soaking wet with very, very, very hot water. Again, mind your hands. Don't burn your hands while you're doing this. Wring it out very well, but very quickly so that it loses as little heat as possible. And then press it right onto the sticky stuff and just hold it there. Once you start feeling it lose its heat, sort of wipe and see how reconstituted the sticky thing has gotten. If it's still like being stubborn and sticky, just keep repeating the hot compress until it finally loosens up, and then you can just wipe it away. So very easy. But, you know, again, mind your hands. All right. So now the time has come to clean the interior. And I told you guys that I would give you kind of a rundown of the different cleaners you can use. This is very much up to your personal choice and your comfort level. Here are some of the things that are good to use. You can use diluted bleach. You can use diluted vinegar. Not ever together, though. You could use diluted dish soap. You could use an all-purpose cleaner like a Fantastic, a 409, a Mrs. Meyers, whatever one you want. Those are all fine to do. The choice really comes down to some people feel better cleaning their fridge out with bleach. It just makes them feel comforted to have that level of bacteria and germ killing. Some people, on the other hand, feel like they don't want bleach anywhere near the foodstuffs, and that's fine. You can feel the way you feel because there are options for you, and you should choose.
This is a judgment-free zone.
That's right. Free. It's free to be you and me up in this baby. Okay. You are going to use, a sponge or rags for the clean out. Again, as I mentioned, Adobe Pad is really great. It's the non-scratch scrubbing sponge. You can get them at, you know, supermarkets, Amazon. They're kind of everywhere if you know to look for them. The reason that they're great is because the plastic interior can scratch if you use like those green and yellow sponges with the green scrubby back. Like the green can come off and also it can scratch. The Dobie won't scratch, but it's really great for, again, getting up kind of sticky or crusted on splattery type stuff. another tool that is really great for cleaning a refrigerator is an old toothbrush. A lot of refrigerators have kind of like some weird nooks and crannies, especially around the areas where the drawers and the shelves get put in. And so a little toothbrush can be great for scrubbing at that. A magic eraser is great for stains. Like a lot, like basically Sriracha is the biggest like culprit when it comes to stains inside a refrigerator, I think. But if you've cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and there's still something that's stained, use a magic eraser to get that off. The other thing to think about when you're cleaning the interior is that the rubber seal around the door of the refrigerator, that's kind of accordion-like, is a horror show. Open it. Look inside. You could send me a picture if you wanted. I promise you there are things in there that will surprise and disgust you. you should wipe that out. A thin rag and, you know, your all-purpose cleaning solution is fine for that. But that's a good thing to clean. All right. Once everything is clean, you're just going to put back all of the shelves. This is also a good time to reorganize your shelf placement or to rethink your shelf placement. Like, people, I think, forget that they can move their fridge shelves around.
Well, because you just get so used to something being in one place where, yeah. where it's just like, oh, this is just where I keep my soy sauce. The soy sauce is always there.
Yeah. But I actually mean, like, how the shelves are arranged.
Oh, like the actual shelves themselves.
Yeah. Like, a lot of fridge models allow you to control that. And, like...
I think most people just don't understand, because most people assume, like, when you take the fridge out of the box or when it gets delivered to you or when you move into the apartment where the fridge already is, and you look inside the fridge, you're like, oh, well... Everything must be that way because the people who make fridges would not just allow you to reconstitute the damn thing like a Lego. Like, it's not a...
They do.
They're thoughtful people, the fridge people.
Yeah. I move my shelves around all the time. And actually, a lot of times, like, it changes by the season. Like, when it gets really warm out and I need to have more room for my box of wine, you know, the shelves get rearranged. That's just the way it goes, John.
It is. Sometimes you need room for boxes of wine.
That's true.
Surprised there isn't a box of wine here.
I know, you know, I've never brought, I would just be drinking out of it like a keg stand.
You gotta do like what they did on It's Always Sunny and put wine in cans. Just gives you extra mobility.
They do have wine in cans.
Oh yeah,
they
is
come
a thing,
with
now.
Little straws. It's actually pretty good wine too. Okay, so yeah. So then you're gonna put everything back. When you're putting everything back, this is the time to do the second pass at the food inventory. This is where you're gonna do things like you're going to open the lids of jars and you're going to see if any fur is growing on that jar of jam that you've had for 7 years.
No one has ever finished a jar of jam, except for your British listeners.
Yes.
Hello.
I was hoping we'd get that voice. Oh, my God. Now, after the feather duster voice in my head, I then had the coronation chicken voice in my head all week.
What, the coronation chicken? I'm sorry to your British listeners who have to put up with my horrible attempts at a British accent.
It's so great. It makes me laugh so hard.
Hello, Governor. Do you have British listeners? Do you ever get emails from the other side of the pond?
I do. I do, actually. I actually just got a question from a British listener who wanted to try the cascade trick for de-dinging whites. And she was like, but what is the UK version of cascade? And I was like,
it's cascade, but they put an O and a U in it for some reason.
No, I think it was fairy.
Of course it fucking is. God. I was gonna say, any email you get from England, you have to run through a translator to get all the weird Britisher words out.
Yeah. So many extra U's.
Mate.
All right, where was I? Oh, so you're gonna look in your jars. This is also a good time when you're looking in the jars to like screw the lids on right this time. It's also, this is the time when you should be wiping off your bottles. Wipe off your bottle of ketchup that's sticky. Wipe off your bottle of sriracha that's sticky. Like, wipe up the sticky jars. Hot water, paper towel, or rag. That's all. You don't need to wash them. It's just hot water. Wipe it all off. And then you will put everything back. And that's how you deep clean a fridge. Easy.
It's very straightforward.
Easy. Let's talk about the smells.
That's the thing, because we still need to address Claudia's.
Yes, I have. I've got her. I've got her. I've got her. And her artisanal ice covered. Okay. A couple of things generally about fridge smells and dealing with them. This is not going to be Claudia's problem, I don't think, but she should check this anyway. But generally speaking, when you have a fridge smell and you've done the deep clean and you're like, the damn thing still smells. I don't know what's going on. Do I have to throw it out the window? Like, what is
please
going
throw,
on here?
Please throw a refrigerator out a window. If you ever get a chance where that's a thing you can do, please do it.
Put it in the microwave for an hour.
Especially if you are, the higher up you are in a building, the more I implore you to push a refrigerator out the window.
This is going to be like, do you remember the movie The Program? They had that scene. Do you remember that movie?
Was it the CIA one?
No, it was the football one.
No, I don't then. What am I thinking of?
It was a football one from the 90s where there's a scene where as like a psych up thing, the players lie down on the median of a highway.
Uh-huh.
And then like a whole bunch of idiot kids actually did it and one of them got killed.
Of course.
And so they had to cut that scene out of the DVD.
The VHS.
Actually, as I was saying it, I was like, I was in high school, the VHS, yeah. They had DVDs in the 90s, right?
The late 90s is when those started to catch on, right?
I mean, I was in boarding school, so I was like...
Well, because when I was a kid...
I was living in like the 50s.
When I was a kid in the 90s,
I was living in Coronation Chicken.
All the Disney movies that my sister loved came on VHS. The first DVDs I remember showing up in my family's household were in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
Because my dad would buy them at Costco.
That's such a dad thing to do.
He still does this. He'll just buy...
Is that how you ended up with Game of Thrones on Blu-ray?
I don't know where he bought that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's where he got it. But like, he will just sometimes go to Costco, because they live down in D.C. and there's a Costco not far from them. There are a few, actually, down there. And he will just buy movies there randomly.
My dad loves Costco, too.
I used to, we had one I used to love going to because you could just get a giant thing of chocolate chip cookies for like $4.
Yeah.
And I would always just throw it, because you can throw anything into a Costco cart because it will just get lost amid a sea of other things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too, and like, until you check out, it's way too late to be like, oh shit, I accidentally bought like 4 gallons of like milk and I didn't even realize it because it was just buried under the 200 other things you can buy here.
I love Costco. We should go have a Costco adventure one of these days.
But there is no Costco in New York, is there?
I think there's one nearby.
Is it up in like the Bronx-ish area?
I think so. Or maybe Queens? I don't know. This is not a show about Costco, unfortunately. It could be.
It could be.
How did we even get on to that? Oh, because we were talking about the shoving the fridge out the window.
Yeah, throw your fridge out a window.
Throw your fridge out the window. Step one. No. Okay, here's the thing you need to do. If you have a mystery smell that you cannot... identify the source of. I'm going to tell you what the source of it is. The source is the drip pan. The drip pan is located underneath the unit. There's usually a kick plate on the front bottom of the refrigerator. Sometimes it's in the back, though. So here's what you're going to need to do. You're going to have to go to Google. You're going to have to Google the make and model number of your refrigerator and drip pan, and you're going to have to find out where your drip pan is and how you access it. Once you know that information, you're going to go in to the drip pan. You're going to take the drip pan out. The drip pan is going to be disgusting. You do not actually need to send me a photo of it, but you may if you would like.
Wow, we finally found.
It's just not a good, photo. It's not, it's just standard.
Well, I want to say, for all the photos you want people to send you, I want to make this request. If you have the opportunity to push a fridge out a window, send me video. I want to see video of a fridge smashing into the pavement from like 10 stories
up. Someone's going to get killed because of us.
Probably, but you know what?
And the headline is going to be amazing.
Legal disclaimer. I am not a...
Sports Illustrated writer.
I was gonna say, saying I'm not a lawyer doesn't accomplish anything here.
Sports Illustrated not a lawyer. Writer and New York Times contributor.
I am not a lawyer, though my mom wishes I were one, so.
The teens are going to start doing this.
Oh my god, I hope so. If I can create the next teen craze and it's just pushing fridges out of windows.
Oh my god, that would actually
Yo,
be
the teens
amazing.
Are dumb enough to eat Tide Pods. They're definitely dumb enough to commit murder.
I know. Guys, don't do this, but if you do, take video and send it to us.
Please.
All right. Okay, so check the drip pan. You're going to basically wash it out. Again, just like you would wash the shelves, like you would wash a dish. Hot soapy water. If it's really bad, you can bleach it. No problem. But what happens with the drip pan is that water collects. I mean, it's called a drip pan. You can imagine why it's there. It's there to collect drips. But drips will collect, and the water is standing, fetid water. And it's especially true if something like... Someone told me recently... I think it was like salmon went bad or something in the fridge. And he was like, I've done everything and this thing still smells. And what am I going to have to do? Am I going to have to throw it away and get a new one? And I was like, no, dude, you just got to go find the drip pan. And he went and did it. And he was like, yeah, that was the problem. Salmon water.
Salmon water is definitely something you can buy in England.
Definitely something you can buy in England. Okay, but again, this is not going to help Claudia because we know what Claudia's problem. We know the source of Claudia's problem, and it's not in the drip pan. Although she probably should. The drip pan may have like pine water in there that she wants to dump and clean out. Okay, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to use an odor eliminator. You're going to have to just shut it into the fridge and into the freezer. So the problem was is that she was doing the deep cleaning, but she wasn't leaving an odor eliminating product in there long enough to absorb out all of the pine smell.
So you gotta take those Dr. Scholl's shoe balls and just throw them in
there.
Yes.
Just fill the entire fridge with sneaker balls.
If it's good,
shut the door.
If it's good enough for sneakers.
And then take a video when your husband goes in and opens the door and all the sneaker balls.
Bombarded with sneaker balls.
I did not see any of this going in this direction, and I have to tell you, I'm so thrilled about it. Because now I'm really picturing a refrigerator fill. Like, you know how people like fill their medicine cabinet with marbles before a party?
You put something or like ping pong balls and something
exactly.
as a prank.
That's what I'm picturing, but with sneaker balls. Okay, so here are the two odor eliminators that I'm going to recommend you use specifically for a fridge. I'm either going to suggest active charcoal, which is also known as activated charcoal or active carbon or activated carbon. You can buy that loose at pet stores that carry supplies for fish. That's often used in fish tanks. And that's exactly what I would do. You can get it in like a little plastic containers, like the kind of plastic containers that rice comes in. It's like that size. And so I would suggest if you're going to go the active charcoal route, that's what you do, that you go ahead and you just get the loose charcoal, dump it into a bowl, put like two bowls in the fridge, like top shelf and bottom shelf, or top shelf or in the drawers, and then put one in the freezer. And just close the doors and let it stay in there for a day, 2 days, forever.
As long
whatever,
as you want.
As long as you want. The other thing that you can use is you can use white vinegar. So same thing, just put a few bowls of filled with white vinegar into the fridge and into the freezer, close the door and let it sit. The reason that I think the active charcoal might be a little bit better is because the vinegar might freeze in the freezer.
I was going to say, what's vinegar's freezing point?
But I actually don't know what vinegar's freezing point is. I should have researched
I thought you were everything vinegar.
I mean, I am, except this
lady
one thing.
Vinegar.
Can you Google vinegar's freezing point while you're...
Airplane mode.
While you Google that, I'm gonna actually. I think this is our break.
Vinegar freezing point. There we go.
You found it.
Google says it's 28 degrees.
Oh.
So your freezer should not, unless you are.
Yeah, your freezer should be okay.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but the active charcoal is also an option. So, yeah, I think
so.
That's
yes.
Okay, so yeah, so Claudia, that's all you're going to do. You're just going to stick these things in there, and you're just going to leave them in for a couple of days, and that will take care of the problem. Do check that drip pan, though, because I think that's probably going to be important, too. On that note, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. John and I will be right back with more about your kitchen appliances. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by co-host in residency, John Taylor. We're closing out our spring cleaning arc, Wash What Happens, with a focus on major kitchen appliances and teen memes.
Teen memes. Push your fridge out a window, teens.
Do it, teens, do it. Alrighty, we have a question from Adam.
Adam. The gender imbalance. Not present this time.
No, I balanced it.
All right.
Actually, we have more dudes than women this time.
Hey,
yeah.
Dude question. Hi, Jolie. I'm a stupid idiot loser. Jesus, man.
I know, right?
No matter what you did, unless you're the asshole who put the fucking car freshener in the freezer.
Listen, Adam, you're doing better than the guy who put the car air freshener in the freezer. Don't be so hard on yourself, pal. We
Seriously.
Love you.
Unless you're a Yankees fan.
Yes.
I'm a stupid idiot loser who accidentally melted the Rubbermaid top to a baking dish in the oven, and I read your insightful article on Deadspin about how to clean up from this situation. I followed your wise instructions and got all the plastic gobs out. It's been a few days, though, and when I turn on the oven, it still smells like burning rubber. Is it normal and okay to still smell like burning rubber, or should the smell be gone? I would just wager it's never really a good sign when something smells like burning rubber, but...
Yeah. I mean, unless you're drag racing.
I'm worried that I miss some that I can't see, maybe onto some of the inner workings. I have a gas stove. Also, can I just maybe live like this and be okay with it smelling like burnt rubber and maybe burning rubber every time I use the stove, or is it not okay? That is such a dude question. Do I have to do something about this?
Can I live this way?
Is it fine if it just kind of like creates dangerous fumes? Any help is much appreciated. Yeah, because here's the thing. I can even... No, you should not have burning rubber in your oven. That's dangerous.
Yeah,
that's
you should.
Really a bad idea because that will put out bad chemical fumes if you keep doing it.
Yes, John is right.
Yeah, and I
thank you for your contribution.
You're welcome. 2 degrees. Help me infer that burning rubber is dangerous.
Okay, so here's the thing. No, I don't want you to live like that because
you
don't have to live like this, Adam.
Seriously, man. Damn.
Just put a car air freshener in the oven.
Also, send a video if you do that as to what the results are.
And moving on to our next question. No. Okay. So, yeah, I agree with John that that's not a smell you want to be living with. I think I know exactly what happened and how to help you fix the problem, so don't worry about that at all. I want to say before I get into what he should do and then also like your general oven cleaning instructions, I picked this question on purpose because the melting of plastic in ovens is a thing that happens, I will say, blessedly not super frequently, but it has happened to enough people who have written to me that I can say with confidence that it's not that uncommon. It's don't beat yourself up for doing it. Like, it happens.
Nah, man, shit happens.
And I say that because when I was doing the promotion for my book, I did a lot of radio.
You did a book.
John,
you have your red clay, I have this.
Fair. And you know what? I respect that. So when you promote a book, you do a lot of radio. Radio sells books, which is crazy and weird, but it's true. And I did this one show in Atlanta. And the people in my publishing company, like, gave me a heads up before the interview. They were like, just to give you a heads up, like, we're not totally sure that this lady is going to be, like, friendly. And they were like, just have a heads up. Just be on your toes that like she might kind of come for you. And she did try. She tried it. I snatched her wig. It did not work at all. She did not like the title of my book. And she had things to say about that to me. And I was like, well, I like it.
That really got off to a good start.
I was just like, I just wasn't there to play her games, you know? And one of the things that she came for me for was that the question of melting plastic in an oven, is addressed in my book. And she was like, there's no way that this happens. No one does this. No one's that stupid. And I was like, listen, it happens. I can promise you it happens. I've gotten more than one question about it. It's not because people are stupid. I think that that's a really unfair characterization of something that's just an easy mistake to make.
It happens.
And yeah, so I just like, you know, I always like to tell that story because, you know, I know one of the things people really like about the show is that I'm not judgmental about the situations you found yourselves in. And part of the reason that I'm not is because, like, that lady was such a drag and it was so unfair and so lame of her. And I kind of wanted to be like, well, you never made a mistake in your life. You know what I mean? Like, we all make mistakes. Like,
nobody's perfect.
Okay, so let us talk about the general instructions. Because, you know, Adam already knows what to do because he went and read this article on Deadspin that I wrote years ago. And actually, you guys should go look at it. I mean, I hate to tell you to give Deadspin clicks, but you should go look at it because the art that Sam Woolley did for it was so spectacular. And I always think of it when I think of the melted plastic and oven questions. So here's the thing you have to do when you melt plastic into an oven is you want to turn the oven back on, but onto the lowest heat setting possible, which is usually about 200, 250 on most ovens. Keep the door open. What turning the heat on is going to do is pretty obvious. It's going to soften the plastic back up so that you can sort of scrape and wipe it out. Now, it's maybe not a bad idea to wear some heavy work gloves so you don't get burned. The reason you want to have the door open is because you want to kind of keep an eye on the plastic. And when you start to see it softening, melting back up is when you want to go in and you want to start scraping it. And you can scrape it with like a metal spatula. You can scrape it with a scraper tool. I wouldn't use your credit card for this operation.
Why is credit card would you jump to?
Because you use credit card for scraping a lot of times.
For scraping up piles of cocaine.
Yes, that. And other things. Credit cards are convenient scraping tools.
You're talking about cocaine, aren't you?
I'm not talking about cocaine. This is how rumors get started, Todd.
This is how rumors happen. I've done that joke already.
You have done that joke. it was better the first time because it was actually a Stevie Nicks joke that time.
That's true.
So you're just going to scrape it up. But you also, like, if depending on how kind of, like, I guess, like, thin the wax or rubber was, you may also just be able to be, like, wiping it out with paper towels. But again, you just mind your hands, it's got a hot oven. Okay, now here's the problem that I think Adam is having. I do think that I think the rubber or plastic, whatever it was, I think it dripped down. In a gas oven, gas ovens have what's called the access panel, which is basically the floor of the oven, but it is not baked into the oven, excuse the pun. I know, sorry, as it was coming out, I was like, this is so bad, I can't do it, but I'm gonna have to do it. That is, the access panel is actually removable, and what's underneath it is the gas burners. I don't know what the thing is called. The gas, with the flames, that thing.
I don't know why you're looking at me. I'm not helping you.
I know, I was like really looking for
a rescue
on that
one. I don't know what the parts of an
one.
Oven are called. It's the big hot box where food gets warm. Like, that's all I know.
Pretty much, yeah. So here's the thing. If you're gonna get under the access panel, obviously do not have the oven on. The pilot will be on, and it's okay. Just be careful and be mindful of the fact that the pilot is on back there, but don't have the actual oven on for it, because if you have the actual oven on for it, there will be flames and you will get burned. If you're really nervous about it, you can shut off the pilot. But I don't think you need to do that. So what you're going to do is you're going to get under the access panel. It usually just, like, screws out. And then you're just going to check under there and just see if anything is melted under there and clean it up. So that is what you're going to do, Adam. You're going to go and you're going to find that rubber and you're going to be A-okay. The other thing I think you should do is I think you should give the oven a thorough, proper cleaning. Because it's possible, actually, that just using regular oven cleaner will get up whatever weird remnants are lurking around. I do think that they're under the access panel. I do think you're going to have to get under there. But it's possible that you just missed a spot that you didn't see, or maybe it's all the way in the back. And so you're going to be doing some oven cleaning. Now, I have to tell you guys, I am overdue to clean my oven. It is a job that I am almost always overdue for, because I really put it off because I hate to. It's satisfying, and I do get the gross water out of it, and so that's always incentive.
You might be the only person on earth for whom gross water is an incentive.
Me and all my weird Twitter followers who tweet water at me every week.
Wonderful fetish community.
Listen, we're recording on Thursday. Yesterday was Wash Water Wednesday. It was like the most robust Wash Water Wednesday I've had in ages. I every week, I can't believe how much there is every week. Like, it's just crazy to me. And Twitter's finally recognizing the hashtag.
Finally.
I was so excited. You tweeted it at me.
I did. I was going to say, now that Twitter's recognizing the hashtag, you can join the only other people on Twitter who still use hashtags, which is the alt-right loonies.
That's not nice, John. Don't compare me to them.
I'm not comparing you. I'm just saying, there's your hashtag. And then there's, like, the,
people,
you know, Clinton killed Obama hashtag.
People still use hashtags.
The olds.
Don't.
The olds use hashtags.
No.
Like, people who work for, like, people who work in marketing and think that's still what like the teens do use hashtags.
True. All right, what are the teens using instead of hashtags?
Meme videos, Snapchats. I don't know. I'm not a teen. Jesus.
Thanks, John.
I am very far from being a teen.
You knew you were making fun of me for being old.
I cover baseball. It's the least teen sport.
That is very true.
No, hockey. Hockey is far, far less of a teen sport.
Yeah.
Nobody watches hockey.
Was that little girl with the puck a stunt? That was a marketing thing, right? That wasn't real.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay, well, we'll talk about it in the bonus episode. All right. Oven cleaning.
Oven cleaning.
I do not love oven cleaning. It's a really gross job. I hate oven cleaner, I think is the biggest problem. I hate oven cleaner. I have to give you guys a safety warning first, because part of the reason that I hate oven cleaner is that I actually have gotten burned by oven cleaner, and it fucking hurt. And I'm always so worried that it's going to happen again, even though now I like go in basically wearing a hazmat suit. Oven cleaner. I'm talking about like the easy off stuff that comes in the can. It is no joke, you guys. This is like, I know a lot of times I say like, you should wear gloves. You should do this. When you work with oven cleaner, you have to wear rubber household gloves. You have to. It is not an option. You also have to be wearing long sleeves. This is where I made the mistake that I got burnt. I came home one day after the gym and I was like, all right, I got to clean my oven. I'm already dirty. I will just like do this now and then I'll go take my shower. And I was wearing a tank top. And so I put my gloves on dutifully. I sprayed. I did my whole thing. And when I was cleaning the oven, when I reached in, you have to work. I'll go into this a little bit more. But you have to basically work from front to back because you want to be wiping away the cleaner so you're not coming in contact with it. I had missed a little spot on the side of the oven when I went to go reach all the way back into the back of the oven. It made contact with the side of my upper arm and it burned me. And I had a literal burn. Like, and I felt it immediately. Obviously, you feel it immediately. And so I like jumped up. I flushed it with water because I knew what was going on. I was like, shit, I know this is going to be bad. I flushed it with cold water, like did everything. And it still like really, really burned and like did leave a scar for a good long while. So don't mess around with the oven cleaner. You can use it. You shouldn't be scared of it, but I just want you to take the right precautions, which is just to wear long sleeve clothing and rubber household gloves when you're working with it. Okay, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to get your can of oven cleaner. I would suggest that you buy the odor-free kind, but I'm also going to tell you that the odor-free kind is in no way, shape, or form odor-free. It stinks. I don't know how they're getting away with marketing these products.
Is it relatively odor-free compared to the...
Your house will stink. I mean, it's so bad. It makes X14 smell like perfume. It's so bad. So speaking of the smell of it, well-ventilated area. Turn on your vent hood, open your windows. You do not want to be shut up in a house with oven cleaner. It stinks, even the odor-free kind. So you're going to shake the can up. You're going to spray the oven. Easy off is the one that you use on a cold oven. I like that because I have a gas stove, and so I don't want a hot oven situation and the gas being on and all this stuff. So I like the cold oven stuff. You're going to spray it all over. Make sure you get into the back of the oven. Make sure you get the roof of the oven because splatters will go upwards. Obviously the sides, the bottom, and the racks. Then you are going to close the door and you are going to leave it closed for 10 to 15 minutes. You also want to check the manufacturer instructions on the specific stuff you buy. If you buy Easy Off, it's 10 to 15 minutes. But if you buy a different brand, check the instructions and follow the directions that they give you. That's pretty important. After your 10 or 15 minutes, you're going to go in with your gloves on. Of course, you're going to take out the racks. You're going to wash the racks first. The reason you want to do this is because you want to have your sink free for the rest of the operation. And obviously in order to reach like to the sides and the back, the racks have to be out of the oven. So take the racks out and wash those first, stick them in the sink. Basically what you're going to do is wipe them down just with a sponge or a rag. Know that after you're done with this operation, whatever sponge or rag you use is going in the garbage. You're not going to save it. So don't use your favorite cleaning rag, because you will have to throw it out.
Please tell me you have favorite cleaning
rags. Of course I have favorite cleaning
rags. You've named them, haven't
you? I haven't named them, but I should. maybe I should give them all little, like, coordinating names, like the Seven Dwarves. I'll think about it. Okay, so you're gonna basically wipe, and everything should basically wipe off pretty easily, because the oven cleaners, I mean, look, the oven cleaner took my skin off. It's going to take off whatever was hanging around in your oven racks. So you're just going to wipe those down, get all the stuff off, rinse them off, dry them off, and set them aside. Then you're going to go into the inside of the oven. Now, there are two ways that you're going to work, and they're very important. The first is that you're going to work from the top down, and the second is that you're going to work from the front back. Now, the reason you're working from the top down is because as you work from the top down, all of the stuff is going to drip. So if you clean the floor of the oven and then you go up and you do the roof of the oven, all of the stuff that's on the roof of the oven is going to drip down onto the floor that you've just cleaned. Because as we've discussed a number of times on this show in the past month, there's a thing called gravity. So you're going to work top down. You're also going to work front to back. This is possibly the more important part. You want to work front to back because you want to get all that stuff off of. Oh, I don't think I told you to spray the door. Spray the door. The door gets very dirty. You're going to start with cleaning the door. The reason you want to do that is because then as you're reaching towards the back, if you haven't already cleaned the door, you are going to be like laying on oven cleaner, and you don't want that. So top down, front to back. And you're just going to wipe it with a sponge or a rag. Here's the thing, though. You're going to have to rinse frequently. I would suggest that you get a bucket of clean water and just leave it right next to you. As you're going to sit yourself down on the floor for this. Just leave the bucket of water, because otherwise you're going to be standing up and sitting down and standing up and sitting down to like rinse under the faucet. You will almost assuredly at some point have to stop and change out the water. This is such a gross, disgusting job. I have photos of oven waters past from my own life. I am never not shocked at how disgusting it is. Like, it's just
like black water.
It's brown,
oh,
oily,
even better,
slimy,
ooh,
viscous.
So it's just basically oil.
It really is. It's awful. It's just quite bad. So yeah, you're gonna have to change the water pretty often. All right. That is your basic oven cleaning instructions. We have one more question to get through. This is going to be a little, I know we're going a little long. This is going to be a little bit shorter.
Phrasing.
What did I say?
It's going to be a little bit shorter. I don't know.
I said we've gone long, so this one's going to be a little bit shorter.
Right, so I figured it's a good phrasing.
Oh, it was good. Oh, I thought you were making fun of me.
No.
I was like, what have I done wrong now?
A different Adam asked.
Wasn't that good?
More than one Adam.
There's so many Adams.
What happened to Eve? Julie.
I was like about to make it all about Eve joke, and I couldn't quite figure out how to nail it, so I didn't.
Julie. I just moved into a new apartment and the dishwasher smells like a dog's wet breath, i.e. moldy and gross. After reading your posts, I assume white vinegar is a must, but I'm fairly lost when it comes to the actual process. Help. Thanks, Adam.
Help is here. Help is here. All right, you guys, this is the time we're going to talk about kinky drain lines. Dishwashers. I had a weird run in the late summer, early fall, where, like, everyone I knew who had a dishwasher in New York was asking me about how to clean their dishwasher. And so I've been like, do you have to talk about this for a while?
My idea would just be squirt dishwasher soap all over the dishwasher, close it and run it. Problem solved.
It's not far off, actually.
Wow.
Not far off.
Look at me. I should be posting this podcast.
I wouldn't say...
This is a cleaning expert now.
That's right. I wouldn't say squirt dish detergent because here's why.
Dishwasher soap is...
I think, yeah, you said dishwasher soap because yeah, you guys were drinking. Because here's what people are going to do. They're going to take dish soap, not dishwasher soap.
If you're listening, fill your dishwasher with dish soap.
You know how often people do that? That is so common.
Do you guys
what putting dish soap in the, in the little container where the soap
like
where
putting
the little,
using like Dawn or Palmolive instead of little, like Cascade or Finish?
Little,
yeah. Do you guys don't.
That's a sud nightmare.
That's how your machine will overflow with suds. Your floors will be very clean. Very clean. But you'll be laundering a lot of towels. Yeah.
So teens.
Yeah. So teens. Okay. So let me talk to you about dishwashers. I had a really nice night the other night where I settled in with a beer and about 20 open tabs about dishwasher drain lines. And I let out like the biggest contented sigh. I closed Twitter. I closed Gmail. I was like, here I am in my happy place. Me and the drain line research and my Bud Light.
It's the Bud Light that gets me. That's.
And every time I opened one, I was like, oh, a hockey beer.
The beer of choice for every 26-year-old chud in Murray Hill.
I mean, that's a pretty accurate description of the Jolly Care experience.
What, Murray Hill?
A 26-year-old chud from Murray Hill. It's kind of like, that's sort of my driving life force, I feel like.
Frat boys?
I mean, I am kind of a frat boy at heart.
So you've now called yourself on this podcast an uncle and a frat boy.
Do you not know that I'm a bro?
I've gathered.
Okay.
You're wearing a 69 shirt.
I'm wearing a 69 shirt.
I don't think you're on your way to a cotillion ball right now.
Oh my God. My mother tried to get me to do debutante and I was like, oh, no way, mommy. Okay. So the other Adam mentioned that the dishwasher smells like dog's breath. So I think that I know what his specific problem is. But I do get a lot of questions about kind of different kinds of odors that are going on. And one really common one that goes on in dishwashers is a mildewy smell. So I want to start with drain lines, because if you're having a mildewy smell, and I also think that Adam should do this because when he says dog breath, that could contain multitudes.
Dog's breaths do contain multitudes.
They sure do. So the first thing I want you to do is I want you to go check the drain line, and I want you to check for kinks in the drain line. What kinks in the drain line will do is give Jolly Care untold opportunities to make kinky cleaning jokes on her kinky podcast.
It also, kinks in the drain line works perfectly with that Silver Jew song, Punks in the Beer Light. So finally, cleaning content for me, the disaffected hipster.
The reason that you want to check for the kinks in the drain line, kinks in the drain line would be a really good song title. It really does.
Again, it fits perfectly with Punks in the Beer Light.
It really, yeah.
Teens, go listen to Silver Jews.
The reason that you want to check for the kinks in the drain line is that kinks will lead to slow draining water, and slow draining water will lead to mildew. So check that first and just, I mean, literally unkink the drain line.
Wait, where is this mystical drain line?
Again, just like the drip pan, you got to go Google your make and model number and you got to look and see where the drain line is. It's probably in the back of the unit. I, you know, not actually being a dishwasher repair person, I can't tell you quite how to access it, but Google that. Okay. Now, this is what I do think the other Adam's real problem is. But I would, Adam, check that kinky drain line. Get kinky with it if you must. Here's where I think his real problem is, though. I think that he has got food debris trapped in his food trap.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Food trap.
All right. Here is where you're going to find the food trap. The food trap is on the bottom of the unit. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to go in there. You're going to have to take the bottom rack out. You might as well take the top rack out while you're at it. Just get in there. Take the bottom rack out, and it should be on the bottom of the unit, probably towards the back of the unit. It literally is like a little rectangular mesh looking thing that probably is filled with food debris. Yes. Check it for food debris. Scoop it out. Rubber glove, paper towel. And then wipe it out with paper towels and just maybe a little bit of all-purpose cleaner. A thing to avoid this. So At some point, I am going to write the definitive guide to how to load a dishwasher. I have been asked to do this by...
This is the most dad thing. When the dad Olympics are created, and in between competitive napping and thoughts on whether or not defense wins championships, loading a dishwasher is like, I have seen dads on Twitter, because as a sports person, everyone I follow is a dad. Get into, all of them are convinced that they know the one true way to load a dishwasher.
I know. That's why I won't write about it. That's why I won't write about it. Because the secret is there is no one true way to load a dishwasher. It has to do with the style of dishwasher you have and the way that your racks are configured, and there are nuances. But yes, this is it is a thing that makes people crazy. And it's part of the reason that I've avoided writing about it, but I have committed to a very, very beloved and trusted editor that I will do this, that I will take this on. So, one thing to say about the universal, I believe I'm right about the dishwasher experience, is that people have very strong opinions about whether you should or should not scrape and or rinse your plates before they go in. There are answers to those questions. There are nuances. I am not going to get into all of them right now, but I am going to quickly say just this. And people, do not lose your minds at me, because there are nuances, okay? If what I'm about to say doesn't line up with your personal philosophy, please just take a time out, cool your jets, and know that I will address your personal philosophy down the line, okay? But generally speaking, other Adam asks what he can do to avoid this. So one thing is, if you scrape your plates, not rinsing them, scraping them before they go in, it will cut down on the amount of food particles that are collecting in that food trap. So scrape, don't rinse. Now, the rinsing thing, just to quickly go there and then quickly go back away from that.
What is this, the abortion debate of
cleaning? It literally is. This makes people crazy. Someone is going to try to stab me with a fork over this one. Technically speaking, you should not rinse plates before they go in the dishwasher. The dishwasher is more effective if you do not put rinsed plates in there. There are whole other reasons for this.
Well, I'll be a son of a bitch.
But there is a difference. I say that to say this. There's a difference between scraping and rinsing. So scraping, good. Rinsing, bad. But also nuances, and I have some things to say about it. Let's move right on to the gasket.
Gasket,
where I feel happy and safe.
Okay.
I feel happy and safe with gaskets.
Okay.
Gaskets, you guys, just in case you don't know this, is the rubber lip around the door and opening of the dishwasher. The gasket of a dishwasher, just like the gasket of a washing machine and just like the gasket of a refrigerator, can get quite gross. That can be holding in smells that may be part of what other Adam's problem is. You can wipe that down with just a rag and a little bit of either white vinegar or bleach, not both. Then the last thing to do, this is how you deep clean a dishwasher. After you've done those things, you've checked the drain line for kinky things going on in there. You've checked the food trap. You've wiped out the gasket. Then you are going to run an empty load with either bleach or vinegar, not both, never both. The way you're going to do this is you're going to put a glass measuring cup or a small glass bowl on the bottom rack filled with either the bleach or white vinegar. About a cup is fine. In fact, if you're using bleach, you don't even need a cup of it. A quarter cup is fine. You're going to put it in, close machine, run an empty cycle, and that's going to clean everything up. And that's all you need to know. That's how you clean a dishwasher.
Wow.
Easy. Yeah. Don't put dish soap in there. That's bad.
Unless you're a teen.
In which case,
do it for the memes, teens.
In which case, take video.
Seriously.
And
it'll get you on World Star, maybe.
And send them to @JolieCare and @JAtaylor. Oh, I meant to tell you, I got a really nice note from one of my patrons.
Okay.
Saying that she has loved you on the show as the co-host, and she spelled your last name right.
That's the most important
thing. I know. I was like, oh, I have to tell John about this.
My bizarre Anglican spelling. I'm going to start a support group for all us T-A-Y-L-E-R folks.
You should.
Who have to deal with this.
You should.
Because it's the phonetically correct spelling. It's not
Taylor.
Oh,
I was hoping you'd go into this.
Look, my John, J-O-N, is the phonetically correct spelling of John. The H, yes. The H makes no sense. It's a bloody Anglo-Saxon invention.
How did
no
you
purpose.
End up with J-O-N as the spelling?
Because my full name's Jonathan.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So I just shortened it.
Okay, I thought.
But Taylor, thought. Taylor, with the O, it should be Taylor.
Yeah.
So if it's Taylor, then just say it with an E. Spell it with an E.
Okay.
Do me a favor, you goddamn animal. Spell it with an E. I've cursed way too much on this podcast. This
I love it. I'm finally the one who doesn't have the wicked potty mouth.
This is supposed to be
great.
A family-friendly endeavor.
It's not.
Where parents and their kids can sit down together
and learn
to
about
find
cleaning.
Out how to clean an oven. And instead, I'm here cursing like fucking Lenny Bruce.
It's not meant to be family-friendly at all. At all. No way. If it was family-friendly, I wouldn't get questions about people sticking air fresheners in their refrigerators.
Are there, when you said sticking, my mind went way,
way. I do get those questions, too.
Oh, I'm sure you do, because quite honestly, there really isn't like a manual for how to clean those things out.
No,
there.
I just got a question, and I have a guest coming up in the next couple weeks who's going to be perfect for this. I just got a question about how to clean vampire gloves. I didn't even know what vampire gloves were.
What is a vampire
and so
glove?
I Googled them. They're used in the fetish community, not my kind of fetish community, in the sexual fetish community, for scratching. Like
for, what?
For scratching.
What do you mean? Like
so like a like
do
a
they draw blood?
Like a like a dominatrix or a master will wear them and scratch their.
So do they have like is it like the Freddy Krueger glove from like
no, I think that they have. I didn't look up actually an image of them.
Scratch?
I can't.
But does it draw blood?
It can. For consensual scratching.
No, no. I'm just like I've never heard of that before.
No, I hadn't heard of them either. But I was like, oh, that makes complete sense.
Wow. Well, teens, if you have scratching videos, please do not send those to me. I have no interest in that.
Are you going to miss this show when you're gone, Ty?
I'm going to miss reaching out to your army of teenage listeners who may or may not exist.
Are you going to be sad that you're not going to be here for the Vampire Club episode?
Well, of course, because now I'm like massively intrigued by what
that's what they look
oh
like.
Oh, my God.
They're cool, man. Maybe we should get some vampire gloves.
That's some like...
They have like fingernails on them.
It's from an Elder Scrolls wiki. That's a video game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Elder Scrolls.
I don't think I've ever played a video game in my life.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
Not even like an arcade game?
I'm an only child.
Wait, but not even like
I
something like Pac-Man
I've played Pac-Man.
Or something like you know what I mean? Arcade games. Like
yeah, I've played arcade games.
But that's a video game.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I've played arcade games.
Pac-Man, Missile Command, Centipede, Street Fighter.
Frogger.
Frogger's a video game.
Okay.
It's a very early video game.
Yeah. I used to play those at Nino's Pizza on Charles Street in Boston. So around the corner was my pizza joint. They had
as a mass hole, and this will probably just get shunted off of the bonus episode, I'm sure you have thoughts on Bertucci's declaring bankruptcy.
Bertucci's,
sorry.
I do. We'll talk about that on the bonus episode. I'm really sad
I saw
it.
Every Massachusetts person on my timeline was having a goddamn conniption
You're
over
welcome
that.
For me not having a conniption over it, but I will do one on the bonus episode. We got to wrap this up because we have gone crazy long, but this has been great. John.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, you were just addressing me. I thought you had a question.
No, I just wanted to say thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
This has been great. And I have really, really enjoyed it. It has been so much fun to have a co-host again. Thank you for being a good sport about the red clay. And
it's over, though. It is literally over your friends at Crudcutter heard you and did something about it. Thank you, Rust-Oleum Corporation, which is a phrase I never thought I would say.
Did you call them? Did you do something? Did you do this, John?
Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I have friends in high cleaning places.
Well, I just want to say thank you again. I have really loved having you here. I hope you will come back.
Of course. You got to do whenever it is you do a pet episode. I'm sure you've done them in the past.
Well, we did one when you were here with Lindsay.
But like specifically but just all pets.
We will do some pet episodes. And I do want to have you guys back together because I know you have some new toys that you've been playing with.
Okay, when you phrase it that way.
Like vampire gloves. No, they have some new.
Well, we have our new Roomba.
They have a new Roomba that they've been.
They sent me the 980.
I know they sent you the 980.
It's very fancy.
I saw a picture of it today.
It's crazy.
Poor Fish. We'll talk about it. He seems okay, but we'll talk about that in the bonus episode. Has the Bissell arrived yet?
Bissell.
The Bissell crosswave thing?
There's a Bissell coming?
Yeah, you knew about this.
Did I?
Yeah, we already talked about it on the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll refresh your memory.
I've been drinking too much.
It's okay. Yeah, I want to have you guys come back and talk about those. And yeah, it's just really been a pleasure. Thank you.
My pleasure. It's been very fun.
Good.
Thank you to the Jolie Care fan community. I would say, like, there's no, like, portmanteau of care and maniacs.
No. We can...
You need to give your fans a name.
I used to call them dust bunnies. I thought that was cute.
You're scrubbing bubbles. There you go.
Actually, that is pretty good. All right, you guys, on that note, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you and thanks to John for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.